Jesus here is in the upper room with his disciples. He's spending his final evening with them before Gethsemane comes. And he spends many chapters encouraging them, giving them promises about what's to come. Most of you are familiar with many of these promises, starting in John 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. But this particular promise is about peace in the midst of tribulation. It's something the world can't relate to. Because when the world has tribulation, they definitely don't have peace, do they? But they don't have God living in them. And that's what makes all the difference. So we're going to start in verse 28, if we could, at John 16. Where Jesus says, I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. In me you might have peace. That is our title. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you for Jesus, who he is, what he's done for us, how he loves us, never leaves us, nor forsakes us, and Lord, how he promised us in this passage the peace of God that passeth all understanding in the midst of tribulation. I pray we would get a hold of this great truth today and learn to live that peace, that every heart would be touched and moved by the Word of God through the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, if there's someone not saved, that they would realize if they would come to Christ and repent and accept him as their Savior, they could also have this peace. But I pray, Lord, for your will. May you be glorified. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Jesus explaining again his deity here. I am come from the Father. I'm coming to the world. I'm about to leave the world. Of course, the Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16, God was manifest in the flesh. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Never forget that. That is one of the keystones of our faith, is the deity of Jesus Christ. And in his deity, he already sees the future. He knows what's coming. He knows the suffering that he's going to go through on our behalf. He knows everything. He also knows the hearts of these men that he's meeting with here in this upper room, this intimate time before he says farewell. And he knows that they're troubled. He knows that they don't completely understand what's about to happen. They just know that Jesus is troubled and he's about to face Gethsemane and all the suffering that follows. And so he's trying to help them to get through all of that. He's trying to encourage them in advance. And that's when they say, Lord, 30, we believe. Now we believe. They've been saying that many times, haven't they? We believe, we believe, we believe. Look what Jesus said. Do you really believe? He says, do you now believe? Verse 31. He says, the hour cometh and it's already here. You will be scattered. And we all know this happens in the Garden of Gethsemane. The soldiers come to take Jesus Christ. He's been betrayed by Judas. And what do the disciples do? But exactly what Jesus prophesied. They scatter. They disappear into the woodwork. They don't stand with Jesus and say, I'm with him, take me too. They scatter. Jesus is telling them in advance, gentlemen, your faith is going to be tested. And by the way, you're going to fail your first test here. You think Jesus is going to test us? Yes, he is. He tests us all the time. We talked about this last Sunday night. But it's going to keep happening, that God is going to keep testing his children. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:4. And that's really one of the things about the Christian life that many Christians don't understand, is that on the one hand, he says he will always be with us, but on the other hand, he also says that we're always going to have tribulation. He could have just said, once you become my child, there will be no more tribulation. But he obviously knows what's best for us and knows that actually those tribulations are exactly how he works in our lives to refine us and conform us to his image. Because let's face it, as we'll see tonight in Deuteronomy, we're very self-centered people. And when we aren't having a trial, that's when we tend to say, I don't really need to pray. I don't really need God today. Everything's going well. Got money in my savings account. I'm healthy. That's a dangerous place to be, isn't it? He says, you guys are going to be tested and you're going to scatter. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. God tries our hearts. He tests our hearts. Another one, Luke 18:7. If you would turn there, here he's talking about prayer. Luke 18 is a parable about the need to just keep praying, keep praying, keep praying. And he says here in verse 7, and shall not God avenge his own elect which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? It's not that he doesn't hear when we cry day and night. It's that sometimes he wants us to just keep asking. Because, let's be real, again, we're self-centered. If every time we just bowed our head and said, Lord, I need a new car, and then it just appeared in the driveway. And God could do that. Amen? God can move mountains. Or if we said, Lord, we're $1,000 short this week. Boom, it shows up in the letterbox. What would we do? Would we serve God? Would we be faithful? No. We would just say, I need this, 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 this. Thank you. And we would go off and eat, drink, and be merry. Wouldn't we? Because we're selfish. God knows this. And so many times he's going to bear long. One more, 1 Peter 1:6. And what I'm showing you here initially is we will be tested as well. And will we scatter? Or will we remain faithful? When the big test comes, what are we going to do? Are we going to run? Or are we going to stand for God? Keep serving. Keep being faithful to God. 1 Peter 1:6, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, your in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, there it is, the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Your faith will be tried. You will be tried. Gentlemen, you're about to be tried. You're about to be tested. You're going to be surrounded by armed soldiers. And by the way, you're going to scatter. And you're going to run and hide. And even 3 days later when I rise from the dead, and you first hear about me rising from the dead, you're not even going to believe it. And they didn't, did they? They doubted. They said, oh, it's his ghost. And so he goes on to say, verse 33 of our passage, This is what's going to happen, gentlemen. You're going to be tried. So these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. He didn't rebuke them that they're going to scatter, did he? He just said, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be tested and you're going to fail. But I came to give you guys peace. And one source of peace from God is from His Word. Notice He said, I have spoken unto you. Look at Psalm 119, verse 165. Peace, one great source of the peace of God that passes all understanding, comes from this precious book. Amen? And if you don't have peace in your soul, despite the tribulations you may be facing, are you in the book? Every day, feasting on it, meditating in it. That might be why you don't have peace. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Amen? I love that verse. Every time a Christian gets offended, it's like, well, they don't love the law. God says we can't get offended if we're in love with the Word of God. Amen? And it also says, great peace. Hallelujah. Great peace. Not just any peace. Great peace comes, first of all, from the Word of God. And Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you. He's talking to His disciples. He's not talking to a crowd that is gathered. He's talking to the 12. That's it. That's the only people present in the room. Which means He's talking to His disciples. Amen? That's us too. If you're born again, you are one of His disciples. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. And how did you become a disciple? Because you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Amen? You repented of your sin. You acknowledged your sinfulness. And you asked God to forgive you and to save you and to give you eternal life and to take you to heaven when you die. And He did. When you called upon Him, He answered. And He gave you peace with God, which is a different peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God, Romans 5:1. In other words, you were no longer God's enemy. Amen? You were reconciled to God. You have the peace with God. But that's not the focus of this passage. Notice He says that in me you might have peace. In me. God is the author of peace. Amen? Matter of fact, in the Old Testament, one of the names of Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. And we look at our world and say, where's the peace? Well, the Prince of Peace isn't here yet. He's coming. Amen? And when He comes, He's going to set up a kingdom that is peace. There will only be one nation, and He will be the King. And there will be perfect peace on earth, which is what man's been striving for thousands of years. But Jesus says we can have peace now in our hearts through Him. He is the author of peace. We get peace, number one, from His Word, but we get peace from Jesus. Amen? Look at 2 Thessalonians 3:16. This is important. If you are living a life of turmoil, then you are not walking close to the Lord, because He promised to give you peace in the midst of turmoil. Notice 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. Isn't that beautiful? The Lord of peace give you peace always by all means. Where does that peace come from? The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It comes from God Himself. He's the author of it. He's the source of it. And that's where it comes from. Look at John 14:27. We looked at this in Sunday school. John 14:27. Jesus said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth. In other words, the world can't give you what I can give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus is the author and the source of the peace that every believer can have in the midst of tribulation. So if we are in His Word and we're walking in the Spirit of God, God says we can have peace. Romans 8, 6, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So he's giving them a beautiful promise here, isn't he? Gentlemen, I'm going to give you peace. What a blessing. But let's go back to verse 33 of John 16. This next phrase is very important. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation. You see that word shall? That's a definite word. Way back when I used to help write specifications for Boeing, you never use the word will. You only use the word shall in a specification. Because shall means it's definite. And Jesus said, ye shall. In other words, this is definite. You are going to have tribulation. Well, does the Bible back that up? Let's look. Psalm 34:19. Does the Bible teach that we're going to have a lot of tribulation in this world? Because he's trying to encourage them and he's trying to prepare them at the same time. But he says, gentlemen, you're going to have tribulation. Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. How many? I can't tell you, but I know it's many. And then Romans 12:12. Let's look at another one. Romans chapter 12, verse 12. So Jesus pulls the guys aside and says, gentlemen, it's almost over, our time together. You're going to be tested in the garden very soon. And you're going to fail, but I'm here to give you peace in your hearts. Now, they didn't get to enjoy that peace until later, until after they were reunited with the resurrected Savior. Everything changed after that, didn't it? And then when he went back to heaven, they went off and reached the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with a peace in their soul. But he said, if you will stay in my word, and if you will stay close to me and let the Spirit of God lead you, you will have peace. But you're going to have tribulation. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Continuing instant in prayer. God says we're going to have tribulation. We're to be patient in those tribulations. Look at 1 Peter 4:19, if you would. 1 Peter 4:19. You know what the world says about, or what the Bible says about the world? There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. They can't even find peace because they don't have the Lord. Since He's the author of peace and His Word is where we get peace and the Holy Spirit, they don't have those things. So they're never going to find peace. There is no peace, the Bible says. But you and I, we're going to have tribulation. God promised it. 1 Peter 4:19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. God is a faithful Creator. Praise God. But He promised here that we're going to suffer according to His will. And that's three different words we've already seen used for the word tribulation, the word afflictions, and the word suffering. There's three different ways of saying you're going to have it. You're going to suffer. You're going to have tribulation. You're going to have afflictions. That's a promise from Jesus. He says, I came to give you peace, gentlemen. And you're going to be tested. And you're going to have tribulation in this world. But look at His final saying here in John 16:33. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Now, they're not cheerful right now, are they? They know that things are about to get really bad. And they do. Well, the mock trials and the beatings and the crown of thorn and stabbed and nailed to a cross. It's about to get really heavy, isn't it? That he says, I'm going to give you peace. You're going to have tribulation, gentlemen. Be in the Word. Be filled with the Spirit of God. I came to give you peace. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You're going to have tribulation in the world. I've already conquered it. Amen? I've already overcome it. And when he cries on that cross, it is finished. It's done. Look at 1 John 4:4. And if you are a born-again Christian, you have also overcome the world through Christ. Never forget that. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. You've already overcome them. Why? Because you're of God. God says in Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Perfect peace. We already saw great peace. Look at Colossians 3:15. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. And so in preparing them for what's to come, Jesus says, you're going to be tested, gentlemen. You're going to have tribulations. Be in the Word. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And I can give you peace in the midst of all that suffering, all that affliction, all that tribulation. I'll give you peace. Not like the world. I'm going to give you my peace. An amazing peace. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Amen? The peace of God. And of course, Philippians 4:6, we've got to turn there. Can't talk about the peace of God without going to this passage. Verse 6, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How can we have this peace in the midst of tribulation? Look at verse 5 at the end. The Lord is at hand. That's how. Because he's always with you. He's always there. He promised he will never leave you. But he never promised that you wouldn't have tribulation or that you wouldn't be tested. He just promised he would be with you through those things. Which is a beautiful truth, isn't it? So if someone tries to tell you that if you become a Christian, you won't suffer, they're lying to you. The scriptures never say that. And you basically would have to cut out the book of Job completely and throw it away, wouldn't you? Because Job, the Bible says, was a righteous man. And yet, look how much he suffered. So Jesus is preparing them. He's preparing us for all of this, verse 33, tribulation that we're going to have in this world. He's preparing us and he says, be of good cheer. I've already conquered the world. I've come to give you a peace that the world can't even have or understand. But you can if you're my child. Amen. The peace of God, as it says in Philippians 4:7, that passes all understanding. This is something that Christians don't fully understand until they've been saved and they go through that first trial, that first major trial in their lives, and they have the peace of God in their hearts in the midst of the trial. And it makes no sense from a worldly point of view, does it? Because the world just collapses and panics and doesn't know what to do when the big trials come. But when we get to the other side of the trial, we look back and say, that was God. Amen? The fact that I was able to get through that trial with peace in my heart, that was God. That was God that did that for me. And then when the next trial comes, we may not handle it perfectly, but at least we know that if we will be in God's Word and if we will be leaning on the Holy Spirit, God will get us through that trial with His peace that passes all understanding. Hallelujah. What a beautiful promise. Be of good cheer. Now, there's multiple promises here. And one of the promises is you're going to have tribulations. That's a promise too. But how exciting that in Christ we have peace. A peace that the world will never understand. And so if we aren't living in that peace because of a trial, it's not because God isn't there. It's not because God doesn't care. It's because we are not leaning on Him. We're not in His Word. We're not reliant on the Holy Spirit. Because the peace, this peace that passes all understanding, it passes all understanding because it's coming from an infinite reservoir. Amen? And that reservoir is God. There's no limit to how much peace God can give us. So it falls on us, amen, to believe it and live it. And in Christ, He says, in me, not in someone else, He says, in me, you might have peace. Hallelujah. You're going to have tests, you're going to have tribulations, but in me, you might have peace. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. In me, you might have peace. Let's pray. Lord, we love you so much. We thank you for your precious promises here that you gave to your disciples and to us. And Lord, I pray that we would grasp this great truth that no matter how heavy the trial is, you're always there. And we can always have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. If we would just but lean on you, be in your word, trust the Holy Spirit of God, you can give us peace no matter how heavy the trial is. And may that be how we live our lives. Patient in tribulation. Thank you so much for speaking to us today. Lord, again, if there's someone in our service not born again, I pray that the Holy Spirit would convince that soul that today is the day of salvation. And they would come to Christ. Those of us that are Christians, Lord, may we not just assent with our minds that these things are true, but may we assent with our hearts that this is how we're going to live our Christian lives in the peace of God. Thank you so much for speaking to us. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray.